You're listening to Katie and Kate Carbondale. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, for Geek Speak. In studio with the news director,
Lucas Turner. What's up, everybody?
All right. Call in with your questions, as usual, 963-2976. Or if you have anything that you'd like to talk about or like to hear us our thoughts on, please call us at 963-2976.
Yeah, we were looking through the news today on tech stuff, and like you were saying, it was kind of a slow news day. Nothing that really stood out to us right off the bat. But we did kind of get into a conversation about, because you asked me, what was the question that you asked me specifically?
Like I asked, how do you consume your media at home?
Yeah, so I actually, the only reason I still have TV is because the company that I got TV from wouldn't let me cancel. But I never watch my actual traditional satellite TV anymore. I'm just kind of waiting for the contract to run out. Where I do consume media a lot is on YouTube, actually. So, and I actually end up listening to a lot of stuff on YouTube while I'm driving or while I'm doing chores at home. I just think that there's a lot of, for example, independent journalism and people who are basically crowdfunding their journalism. So they're disconnected from advertisers, big corporations. They're disconnected from potential conflicts of interest, maybe. So I think that YouTube and it is a great place to find people who are doing independent journalism and news analysis. And it sounds like you do that as well.
Yeah, that's where I consume between YouTube and Reddit. That's where I consume a large portion of my media online.
Yeah.
So it's like I have a bunch of, they call them subreddits, where I, lurk and read discussions and figure out things. I haven't really taken the step and started to interact with them. But there's usually some really, other people have found these really nice, stories that are interesting for a particular news article or something like that. And, then I'll go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, and I think that how would you describe Reddit? I know that its tagline is the front page of the internet, but really it kind of gets down more to usefulness when you're trying to look at a very specific topic, right? That's what you mean by a subreddit, is a place where, for example, I'm going to go and I'm going to look at articles and pictures and people's commentary about, I don't know, like I'm on R Tech right now trying to see if there was any other interesting news stories that came up today.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your favorite subreddits that you follow?
So I like the Linux community. So basically anything that's open source. So I pay attention to things like Ubuntu and Debian and Firefox and Thunderbird and all these things that are, instead of being closed source like Apple or Microsoft, basically you have the code that creates that program and you can review it and edit it and modify it if you so choose. But what I like about open source is you have independent peer review of the code. So people can read the code and say, well, there's this piece of code is going to cause, a buffer overflow, which is a really common way that hackers get into pieces of software.
Right.
And so you have all this review happening.
Or even potentially things that were put in there nefariously as like some kind of tracker that maybe you don't want if you're concerned about privacy or, things along those lines, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like if you use Google Chrome, obviously, Google is getting some pieces of information about your browsing from that software because you agreed to have them be able to do that.
Yeah, so you use Firefox because they're open source, and essentially you can verify what's in the code, and other people are actively doing that as well in the Firefox and the open source community, correct?
Right, exactly.
So this is kind of getting into, talking about media consumption. We're kind of getting into, what makes Reddit cool, and that it's not just for media consumption, but also for being a part of a specific right. community.
Right. So the Linux community has they talk about they have image manipulation programs, and they have drawing programs and painting programs and all kinds of really, because I just go in there and check, and people go, hey, check this out. This is a really neat project. And, sometimes I've picked up probably two or three programs from reading that over the years that I use somewhat regularly. now. And so it's just been nice to be able to watch that community and say, and somebody comes up and says, hey, check this thing out. And you go check it out and end up using it, which is really neat.
Also, if you fancy yourself a meme lord, or just somebody who thinks that they have the coolest, newest memes, if you think that, but you only see memes on Facebook, chances are they were on Reddit over a month ago. Yeah. So the
ancient history,
a lot of things originate there, but you know, I have heard people who use 4chan tell me that Reddit is for plebs. So is that, what are they even?
I haven't made the jump to 4chan. Every once in a while I'll go and slum around 4chan, but
I mean,
it's definitely not safe for work.
Reddit's user interface is not that great, and I feel like 4chan's is even worse, right? It's,
well,
not really.
4chan's running on their code that originally, and just so everyone knows, 4chan is definitely not safe for work most of the time. It's kind of, I think they've tried to clean it up a little bit since Frosta, and I can't remember the other one.
Yeah, I mean, but there's been a lot of controversy surrounding 4chan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely keep that disclaimer in mind. I had a friend, and I was talking about Reddit once, and he was like, oh, Reddit's for plebs. You got to get on 4chan. I was like, no, and I don't really get on either anymore.
Yeah. No, it's just, Reddit, our news is pretty good. Our politics is somewhat interesting.
Mm.
There's a whole bunch of these subreddits that are, you know, particular ones. There's a Colorado one that has pretty good information about what's going on in Colorado, and
I mean, I'm willing to bet that there's a Reddit, a subreddit for Carbondale.
I've never looked,
but if I type Carbondale, there's multiple towns named Carbondale in America.
There's at least two,
because
there's Carbondale, Illinois, and Carbondale, Colorado.
This is for Carbondale, Illinois. They got it first,
maybe. But we got Colorado, or we got Carbondale.com.
Right. Yeah. So there you go.
But
So Reddit, basically, if you're curious about how to kind of use it, if it's just reddit.com/r/ and then the name of the subreddit, but you probably would be better off just searching your preferred search engine for blank concept subreddit, and chances are it exists, and it may or may not be active, but you might find a community of people that are, you know, interested in the same weird thing that you're interested in. Or maybe not weird. Maybe something as broad as news and politics.
Yeah. Or something that's very niche.
Yeah.
In that. And I have a couple of those, like Linux and some other things as well. So
I was actually trying to log into my Reddit account just to see what my favorite subreddits were, but I can't remember my login. There is an interesting thing with Reddit, is that the day that you sign up for your account is called your cake day. And if it's your cake day, there will be a little like cake icon next to your, mm-hmm, your username, and just everybody, doesn't matter, complete strangers from all over the world will just be so happy for you and so nice to you because it's your cake day. I mean, you can get away with things because it's your cake day, isn't that right?
No, I've never pushed it that far.
I don't know. I haven't really either. I just saw other people doing it a lot. So I guess keeping in the vein, we talked about Reddit a lot. YouTube is definitely more just direct actual media consumption, and
yeah,
there's not much of a community, I would say, like per channel. YouTube's comment section can be a little bit of a
wasteland.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even pay attention to it, honestly. The ones I go to, AVE, not necessarily safe for work, but he really, like, the thing I love about him is he, you know, he'll go get a Makita drill set, or you know, Black and Decker, whatever it is, and take the thing to pieces and say, this thing is engineered to fail, here's how it's going to fail, where it's going to fail.
Oh, wow.
And say, you know, well, it's, and then he'll say, well, it's $100, so you have to decide whether it's worth it or not. Or he'll go, yeah, you know, or some, you know, if it's like a Hilti or a Makita or something, he'll go, you know, this is still kind of chintzy, but it's still, the rest of it's really good.
So does he just focus on power tools, or does he cover a whole variety of things?
He does a whole variety of things. He does CNC machining and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, and like I said, he uses some rough language because he's a guy in his garage, you know, taking tools apart and telling about them.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's another disclaimer, is kind of, if you're going online to watch videos, you might want to just be aware that there might be some not safe for work content out there.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's
not might be, there is. Yeah.
There is, yeah.
So you just have to be aware of that on YouTube.
And then there's an electronics guy that does some, you know, similar stuff with electronics. And there's a guy who restores old radios and other things that use vacuum tubes. And he goes through and says, well, here's how the vacuum tubes work. And here's the voltages you use. And here's why this one's, you know, this one's been taken apart and somebody tried to fix it. And let's fix it with their fix. And, you know, that's the kind of content I consume, is that, you know, taking stuff apart and looking at it, and because I don't want to go spend thousands of dollars on equipment to take apart.
Yeah, well, that kind of gets to I just fixed my wife's window regulator, is what it's called.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even know that that was the name of it, but it was just, you know, this is kind of a thing with that I feel lucky to have been born in this time, because it's like, oh, I need a drywall repair, YouTube. Oh, I need to fix the window regulator in my wife's car, YouTube. Like, you can just find videos of somebody who's an actual professional at that thing doing that thing, and it just makes it so much easier.
Or sometimes you find a hack, which my dad was replacing a alternator on an old Nissan.
Uh-huh.
And the guy just didn't know what he was doing. Okay. It was really funny.
I wasn't sure if you meant a hack as in a person who's a hack, or as in like a workaround.
Oh no, this guy was just didn't know somebody who, you know, just didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, he got the job done on the video, but you're watching the video and you go, I'm not going to do it like that guy because he smashed his fingers.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you got to be careful.
But at the very least, you know, you're watching, you're not doing it as you watch it, hopefully. And you can go, I'm going to do what this guy did, but I'm not going to do it that way.
And there's always another video.
Yeah.
For the most part, right?
Many times. But, so, you know, you just have to, you know, make sure that the person doing it kind of, you know, is just kind of calm and collected about it and not cursing at the bolt in this case.
So I guess, you know, what I consume a lot on YouTube is mostly, I guess, politics and news-related stuff, news analysis and stuff like that. But I also, there are some just general entertainment things that I watch for entertainment. I guess it's all for entertainment value. But less kind of like serious is stuff like Jack Black has a YouTube channel.
That sounds like fun.
He just started it not that long ago. It's called Jablinski Games. And it's not really strictly a gaming channel. It's actually just just his life, basically. So you get to follow him as he goes around with his band Tenacious D, and it's super fun and super, super cool to watch. So if you're looking for, you know, a little 8-minute video every week,
yeah,
to be entertained by.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. How do you consume your online media or alternative media?
Yeah, I guess so. The question is kind of like, what apps or sources are you using on your phone or your tablet, or are you using your phone or your tablet?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what, I guess maybe what kinds of things are you consuming? Although I think we're just curious about the different ways that you could do it. Another one that I would bring up is Feedly that I mentioned earlier. So
is that a Google product or no, that's BuzzFeed. All right. I can't remember.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Maybe I should look into it. But it's just a RSS aggregator. So I use it strictly for pulling feeds of different news sites, because for one, it pulls the feed into my phone and I don't have to see whatever ads are on that page. And then I'm using the free version, so it only lets me categorize everything into three different categories. But I think I have local news, I have world news, and then I have like what I would consider alternative media sources.
Have you found a SciShow?
SciShow?
Sci, S-I, like science, S-I-E show on YouTube.
No.
They do these great little, 5 to 10 minute videos on specific scientific research that's been published recently, or topics that people have requested.
SciShow.
Yeah. SciShow.
Okay.
Anyway, and that one's, I would say is safe for work. It's nicely produced, and I can't think of any of the six words you're not allowed to say on air being mentioned there.
I think that one of the big factors when we're talking about, especially with YouTube, is just the difference between consuming media on YouTube versus maybe watching TV, because, and one of the big differences is just the length of content, right? Like I'm watching 10-minute videos,
mm-hmm.
and maybe I'll watch six 10-minute videos, and there's an hour of me being entertained as opposed to just tuning into one television mm-hmm. program. So maybe getting exposed to the same amount of ads, but I don't know, you know, through YouTube's advertising system.
Yeah, I could see that. I have a lot of that blocked on my computer, so I don't have that on my TV.
So for YouTube ad blockers?
Yeah.
Basically?
Ad blockers in general.
Ad blockers in general, okay. Because I've used ad blockers before, but not specifically for... I've tried it for YouTube, and I've never mm-hmm. really got one to work very well. So
yeah, they they only work okay.
Yeah.
On YouTube, since they kind of... I think that'd be really difficult to edit that out using a plugin.
Yeah.
But it seems to work... The one I use seems to work okay on that.
I guess a question I would have is because I was mentioning earlier that a lot of the people that I follow on YouTube are sort of independent journalists, or they're crowdfunded or whatever. Let's say they're getting a lot of ad revenue. Like,
right.
If I'm using an ad blocker and that works on YouTube, that probably does affect their bottom line, right?
Right. So you have to decide whether their content is worth a few bucks to you, and you can do, you know, you can say, well, I want to go to their Patreon page, or I want to go to, you know, one of their crowdfunding sources that they're using and throw them a couple bucks every month, or, you know, throw, mm-hmm. oh, it's Christmas, let's send them 10 bucks or what, however you decide to do that to help further their cause and have them be able to produce that content.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was getting at with them being crowdfunded, because a lot of them had to after, I'm sure you heard of the adpocalypse with YouTube,
uh-huh.
where, you know, there was some really big high profile stories published about some YouTube content creators that were controversial, and YouTube kind of just did a very sweeping, broad, yeah. I don't know what you'd call it.
I'd have to say about 3/4 of the content I consume on YouTube probably falls into that category.
Yeah. Where they're saying this stuff is not acceptable for advertising, and they're just trying to keep the advertisers happy, right? They don't want the advertisers coming back and saying, oh, our ad appeared before a video of fill in the blank, and we don't like that. But YouTube was so sweeping and so broad in how they did it that, yeah, like, same. 3/4 of the content creators I watch were all demonetized almost completely and had to say, you all need to crowdfund me right now, or
I'm going to go get a day job again.
Yeah. That's definitely an interesting thing to track over time. Maybe it'll come up on Geek Speak again in the future if there's like a big update. But, you know, that's getting at these modern media consumption habits. I think that sort of emulates the membership style model that we even have here at KD&K, of basically saying, like, this is, you know, funded by a community of people who value what is done here. And a lot of the online content is starting to go that way. So I just think it's interesting that it's starting to emulate something like public radio that's been around for a really long time.
Well, that also, like you said, frees up the journalist. They're not beholden to a corporation. They're allowed to say, you know, dig into whatever the story is, mm-hmm. and tell the story, as opposed to having to say, well, I want to tell the story. However, I have to think about how I tell the story because I'm beholden to these other people.
Yeah, or an editor is just going to say no.
Right.
Tell a different story, or we're going to pick somebody else's story today for our broadcast or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Have a few more minutes here. 963-2976. You're listening to Geek Speak.
So I guess I can't really think of any other, you know, I guess I spend a lot of time on YouTube. And then, of course, I use my podcast app all the time just to listen to podcasts. And the thing I like about that is the fact that I can download it and don't have to worry about data being used as I'm driving. Mm-hmm. So, but, I mean...
Do you use, what is it called? SoundCloud? Do you pull anything from there, like Star Talk Radio or anything like that?
I actually listen to Star Talk Radio, but I listen to it just with my the built-in podcasting app from Apple,
mm-hmm.
which used to be a lot better. They updated it. They kind of messed it up, but I still use it just because it seems to work pretty well.
Yeah. It seems like there's kind of a podcasting renaissance going on right now.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's just funny because Apple actually, like, they're right at the center of that. It's called a podcast because...
Yeah, iPod.
But all these different companies are getting into it. Yeah, I mean, I definitely would agree that there's a podcast renaissance. It's just another... Just like we were talking about with Reddit, just like we were talking about with YouTube, this kind of reoccurring theme is that even with podcasting as well, there's just such niche and specific interests that you can now consume your media, you know, about very specific things.
Mm-hmm. I guess that brings up the other side of that is that it's easier than ever to create an echo chamber for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can listen to people who you agree with very strongly and not listen to people who you fervently disagree with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how as a person, how do you balance that?
I mean, I've definitely had times where I just go on YouTube and look up people who are debunking people that I watch all the time or that say they're debunking and try to watch their video and see if, you know, I just try and give myself that, check every now and then. And usually I just come away being like, I think that person's analysis was completely wrong, but at least I took the time to say, I'm going to see what somebody else is saying, you know, against whoever I, you know, normally subscribe to or listen to.
Absolutely.
You could also potentially have some kind of rule ratio, keep this many things that you don't agree with in your feed, but it kind of seems unlikely that people would really do that.
No, the echo chamber is a much nicer place to live.
Well, and, you know, these social media companies are really benefiting from the echo chamber effect and even making it worse on purpose, I would say, in some ways. Haven't we kind of seen,
yeah, because once you've kind of pigeonholed yourself into you know the direction you want to go, it's really easy for them to go, oh, he's a, you know, a mainline Democrat or whatever it is,
yeah,
and say, let's feed him mainline Democrats the other things that mainline Democrats like.
Yeah,
or that's same for any of the rest of the you know,
social media companies or any of the ideologies that
exactly.
You could pigeonhole yourself into. Yeah, I mean, I would say maybe that's why this whole conversation is important, because having these different sources where you get your media, like, okay, I get stuff from YouTube, I see what's on my Facebook feed, mm-hmm. I read the local news, and I pay attention to the local news, because you should, obviously.
And especially Katie and Kay.
Especially Katie and Kay. You know, you should just have different places where you get your media, and just don't make Facebook your main place, please. Okay? It's not a good way.
No. It's a tool, just like everything else.
Yeah.
But all I use Facebook for is just see what old friends are up to, and that's really about it, unless I need to reach out to somebody, but that's really rare. I usually have a phone number or an email address.
Yeah, so I guess just be aware of the fact that, you know, companies like Facebook or whoever may benefit from pigeonholing you even further. Keep that in mind and just give yourself a check every now and then and say, hey, am I just agreeing with myself every day and not questioning my own biases? You gotta do that. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't think of any other really sources that I use to get media.
Yeah, I don't really... there's one I use to get articles called Slashdot, but it's very tech-centric.
Okay.
So Slashdot.org is one of my... not primary anymore, but it used to be one of my primary sources for technology information.
So I guess this has been Geek Speak. This has been my first time on Geek Speak. I've listened to the show a couple times, and I always wanted to go on. That was before I was news director, so... Awesome. That was fun. It was fun being on here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the conversation.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KD&K. I'm your host, Matt McGuire, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with
Lucas Turner, news director here at KD&K. Awesome.
Thank you, Luke. We'll be back on the third Monday this month. I think that's the 17th, or no, 17th? No, it'll be 18th or something.
The third Monday is the 19th.
So we'll be back on the 19th. Until then, have a great time.